The brutal rape of a 23-year-old woman in New Delhi has prompted demonstrations and calls for legal reforms, and not just in India. Last year, there were more than 1,400 reported rapes in New York City and more than 200,000 sexual assaults in the U.S. As part of his Micropolis series, WNYC's Arun Venugopal examines how the uproar in India is resonating here.
In the mid-90s, I walked into a crowded theater in Bangalore with some friends and watched what is probably one of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen. It's called Bandit Queen, and it tells a pretty much true story of Phoolan Devi, a poor Indian village girl who was married off as a kid, raped by her much older husband, and survived a series of humiliations and assaults into her adulthood, including a horrific 3-day gang rape at the hands of upper caste men. But instead of fading away, she became one of India's most notorious outlaws, returned to the site of that awful attack, and slaughtered the upper caste men in the village. Now, stories like this are hardly the norm, but they speak to what are seen as the failings of a legal system and society that don't take matters of sexual violence against women seriously. When the news first broke that a woman had been gang raped in New Delhi, women's rights activist Mallika Dutt was in India. She immediately experienced what she describes as
that horrible sinking feeling that yet again this kind of awful, awful atrocity has happened to a woman.
Mallika runs Breakthrough, a group based in New York and New Delhi that fights for human rights and women's rights. She's in New Delhi now and says her feelings changed in the following days as she saw demonstrations break out across India. As much as the attack shocked the world, the subsequent response has been just as profound, not just in India and the developing world, but in the West.
What I'm seeing for the first time really is American feminists and American women's organizations seeing the moment in India as an opening for us to be talking about what's going on in the United States as well.
This is something you hear from a lot of activists, that the rape case in India wasn't the product of some far-flung patriarchal society, but speaks to global patterns of abuse.
You know, I don't think we've had anything as galvanizing in the area of sexual assault in more than 20 years since the Central Park jogger case.
Sonia Osorio heads the New York City chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. She told me the Indian case follows a series of other notorious incidents here in the U.S., including the alleged sexual assault of a 16-year-old girl by football players in Steubenville, Ohio, that was captured on camera, as well as Todd Akin's remarks about quote-unquote legitimate rape not causing pregnancy.
The case in India has really, really touched a deep nerve for many, many women. We're hearing from women and fathers and men every single day here in our office.
Scott Berkowitz heads RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And he thinks the incident could do for India what the Penn State football scandal did across the U.S., prompting a 50% spike in calls to the National Sexual Assault Hotline and changes in state laws about who has to report abuse and how quickly. It's still unclear how the rape of Jyoti Singh Pandey, a young physiotherapy student in India, is going to resonate in this country, but Sonia Osorio and others say it's renewing calls for the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women's Act, or VAWA, which was just blocked in Congress.
It's happening right now. The emails are flying.
A lot of activists tell me that the most striking dimension of the demonstrations in India has been the presence of so many men, something you don't even see here in the U.S. Patrick Lemon co-founded Men Can Stop Rape, and he says that directing efforts at men before a crime is committed is a really contemporary approach to the problem.
In the last 20 years, I would say, that's been probably the single biggest new wave happening.
And he's hopeful that something good will ultimately emerge.
We've seen tens of thousands of people gathering in the streets talking about this issue in India in ways that, from what I'm reading, have not happened before. So this is the real moment of possibility. It's an incredible tragedy, and we have an opportunity as a world and as the nation of India to really come together and say, this is not who we are. We choose to be different.
Next Tuesday, the group Sakhi for South Asian Women is holding a candlelight vigil for Jyoti Singh Pandey in Union Square. The organizers say their hope is to remind New Yorkers that the effort to end gender-based violence is urgent, necessary, and ongoing. This is Micropolis. I'm Arun Venugopal at WNYC.